Right, let's go into prayer, and good morning, ready for morning of worship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God, how grateful we are for this assembly. We pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray, amen. Okay, let's begin with song.
Turn with me to number 157.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace alone, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the depth of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all day.
Scripture reading is Matthew 26, starting in verse 36.
Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand.
All right, would you join us in turning back to hymn number 50? Hymn number 50 in the hymnal is Blessed Be the Name. I think this is familiar to many of you. For some reason, the melody in this tune doesn't quite match what's written on the paper. It's off by just a little bit, so when in doubt, sing a little faster.
First one. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, the name that calms my fears, blessed be the name of the Lord. His music in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He breaks the power of canceled sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the foulest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. I never shall forget that day, blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Okay, now let's talk about some announcements. First of all, your mother was taken to the hospital yesterday. Tell us about it.
I just got a text from my sister this morning. She was admitted to the hospital, I think, pretty early, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the diagnosis is a pneumonia. So they're treating her with heavy antibiotics. Mm-hmm. At this stage, that's all I know.
And you've got some good news about your son.
I do. I have a disabled son, and he is got on a waiting list. It's been closed for over a year now. It just opened up this month.
Good.
And,
all right.
For housing in Granbury, we're planning on retiring, not for a few years, but it'll be okay to move him there as soon as we can.
We will be in prayer. And Judith's daughter, can't get them confused. But our daughter is in severe trouble, so tell us about that.
You got me with my mouth full. A couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, she got COVID. She was almost over it, and then she had stroke. And they call it COVID stroke. She was in the hospital. So they gave her that, immediately they gave her that shot for a stroke. And she came home and really didn't know. The doctors, you know, how they do in the hospital, say, okay, go home, stay on your meds, and do this. So when she did a follow-up, he said, it is amazing that you're sitting here talking to me. He said, because her carotid artery was like a volcano, and it just explode up this way, up her head, not down. So anyway, from there, we're doing more tests to see if they have to go in there and clamp the carotid artery and then clean it up and put it back. So our prayer is, and if you'll pray, that when she goes in, that it has cleared itself and that she doesn't have to have surgery.
Okay, there's our request. I do have any other request of prayer. Anything else going on? All right. Chris wants to have tell us some things that are getting ready to happen about our assembly. So let's go.
So this is a quick update. One of the things that we always promise to do is we come back to you with regards to the youth ministry. This is Liberty Youth Ministries that we support here at Spring Valley Bible Church. And I just wanted to share with you what's going on with our youth ministry for 2022. I won't get into all the details of everything here, but I wanted to make sure that we share these things with you. And if I can get it to go here. Give me a second. There we go. So some major events that we've got going this year. Our Liberty Youth Groups will continue for 2022. So we have smaller groups, but we are continuing to be faithful to the kids in our neighborhoods. We're working on getting more kids there. We got a couple of new kids that came to our group this week, which was awesome. So that will continue every Thursday, Wednesday and Thursday. We will continue to have those, one in Plano, one in Wiley. We do our Veterans Day celebration. Thank you all for being out there that came last week and supporting that. That was huge. A lot of fun. I will, if you couldn't make it this year, come next year. We will guarantee you we'll be doing it again. We also send a bunch of cards, which if you guys have not had the opportunity to sign the cards, there's veterans cards and there's Christmas cards in the very front room. Please take a moment to just sign them, say thank you, we love you, some encouragement. We send those to veterans that were on our list of all those balloons that we released. We send veterans those cards and tell them how much we appreciate them. College kids gift cards and gift boxes, that'll be happening this month. Again, the cards are in the front, so please sign those. We'll be pulling together gift boxes to send to the freshmen and then all of the upper class, which are all these faces back here. We send them a gift card of some sort, $10 gift card for a Starbucks or whatever, but just to tell them, hey, we're thinking about you as you're getting ready to go and praying for you as you're getting ready to go into finals, and we love you. Yes, there's a bucket in the front room as well that we're taking donations if you guys want to throw a couple bucks in there or whatever. As much as you want to throw in there, you can throw $1,000. I wouldn't turn that away either. However much you want to throw away, throw in there. I shouldn't say throw away. Going too fast here. So Liberty Fellowship Thanksgiving gatherings, we'll be doing those in November. In fact, next Friday after Thanksgiving, we pull all of the kids that are coming back in town. We get them together and we have a social event with all those kids. Christmas VBS, we are actually had the opportunity to do two of them this year, which is awesome because last year we didn't get to do any. Two mobile home parks has said, absolutely, please come in. We want you to come in and be a part of this. And so we've told them, hey, we're a Christian group. We're going to present the gospel. We're going to tell them what Christmas is all about, and we're not going to shy away from this. And they said, absolutely, please come in. And that's exciting. That doesn't happen very often. So we're excited about that. I already talked this morning about the College Breakthrough Retreat, which is happening in January. That'll be up at Lake Texoma. Our SLAM, Servant Leadership and Missions High School Retreat, which will be in April. We'll be doing a high school seniors celebration this year as well in May. And then our Liberty Youth Camp will be in June. And so those are the big major events that are going on. plan fundraisers. I put this together before earlier. So in October, we had a poinsettia flower sale. We'll be delivering those beginning of December to everybody who got the poinsettias. Vets Day was awesome. The fundraiser with the balloons is a great thing, and we really appreciate the support in that. We'll be selling some T-shirts and sweatshirts this year, maybe just T-shirts. I don't know what the merchandise is going to look like.
It's already out, T-shirts and sweatshirts. Leslie's already sent that out. I think if y'all seen that, T-shirts and sweatshirts that say Liberty, and then we've got Liberty Youth Ministries on the back. And those are on sale until November 30th so that we can get those out to room for Christmas gifts. A lot of our families like to do that for their kids for Christmas.
Cool. We'll be doing the spring flower sale again. That's a big hit. Everybody seems to like that. Liberty Diner. That may be combined with the senior fellowship, the senior appreciation with the Liberty Diner. And then we do a scholarship drive in May and June and ongoing general donations. So those are the things that will be going on as for raising the funds for those events that we do. And
you missed the chili cook-off.
Yeah. Don't miss the chili
cook-off. Dang. Sorry, y'all. Let me back up. So, see, Herman, I'm going too fast. I skipped it.
Tomorrow.
Martha, the chili cook-off is in February. We're doing the chili cook-off. We didn't want to do it in competition with the Super Bowl, so we're going to be doing it might actually be the day. It's the day of the Super Bowl. There you go. Eat some chili, celebrate with us, fellowship, and the chili cook-off is in February. So apologies for missing that.
And watch the Cowboys.
And watch the Cowboys go to the. There's a lot of prayer required. Financial plan, I can give anybody, we do this as full disclosure because we do a lot of this stuff outside of this congregation sitting in here, so I want to make sure you guys have clear line of sight to all the stuff that we do. Right now, our current balance is around $12,500. Again, I know that you guys are going to look at me, it's like more than that. No, this is from November the 11th, 5th. It was about $12,500. We're going to spend about $14,100 negative. If you look at our projected total expenses of $35,000 and camper staff fees that we collect, about $20,700. So there's about a $14,000 delta. Our fundraising is $12,000 this year, which doesn't really make sense with a $14,100, but we don't need to keep a $12,000 nest egg year over year. So that's the reason we don't need to raise quite as much. So our target this year is $12,000. That's our fundraising target. And at that point, our ending balance will be about $10,000. And we keep about $10,000 in there so that we can pay for deposits for the next year's camp. We can pay for things that come up for administrative purposes, if we got to buy our insurance and things like that. So it ensures that we have the money to do the things that we need to do to start the following year. If anybody wants extreme detail on all of this, I can give you the spreadsheets, and you can full disclosure on all of that. So that's all I have. It's not as fun as exciting. It's a business transaction this morning of letting you all know, but we are very, very excited about all the things that are going on with the Liberty Youth Kids this year.
Our third song is going to be off of Chris's talk this morning, I Surrender All, which goes right along with what he was teaching this morning. Page 347, I Surrender All. Let's stand and sing together.
All to Jesus I
surrender, make me Savior wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender.
Okay, you've just heard a lot of things we've got going on. We've got things that are not going on by the conversation today. We've got the communion, the daily payment of our estate, of our
internet.
What? Tell them where we're going with that. Okay. How we're doing.
All good. Yeah, we have already paid up front, but every 3 years, so we don't need to pay a new.
Okay, very good. All right. So let's spend a moment to make an offering to the assembly. Let us say, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunities that we have to tell others of Jesus Christ, of his crucifixion, his resurrection, of our relationship with him for all eternity. We pray now, Father, that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, or use these offerings to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. One more thing before we go into our study, and it's something going on in Rick's life. So, Rick, tell us who's here right there with you.
All the way from Tucson, Arizona. My parents, Fran and Gary.
So we're glad to have y'all. All right. Good. What's y'all's weather like? I mean, temperature right now.
Hot.
I love that. That's one thing I do love about Tucson. Is the year-round weather. All right. Okay, does anyone not have a copy of Jesus Christ is Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted? Anyone not have it? Okay. Let's begin ourselves with a study of the Word of God in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. It tells us so many things. Most of all about Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray now, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. We're in the midst of studying Isaiah 53, one of the most important verses or chapters in all the Bible, for Jew or Gentile. So we've made it through the first four readings, so let's read Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him, he being Jesus Christ, before him God the Father, like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, no appearance that we should be attracted to him. Now we move to verses 3 and 4. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him as worthy of it. Verse 4, surely our sickness he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, as though he was deserved it. Now, we are looking at three verbs that describe the suffering of Jesus Christ in our place. Stricken, smitten, afflicted. Esteem him stricken. We finished this one last week. So let's now go to the second suffering verb, smitten of God. Okay. They know that God was, that must be involved. They knew that. God must have smitten him. What is so striking about this word is that it is in the usual Hebrew hophal, H-O-P-H-A-L. I don't want to bother you with all of that, but I cannot pass it by because it's so beautiful in the Hebrew. There is only two stems in the Hebrew, past and future. However, there are some seven roots. That is why I love the Hebrew when I was studying Hebrew. This Hebrew verb, which I told you was hophal, is used to describe the suffering of Jesus on the cross. It combines with another stem to add a richer picture of what is happening on the cross. The first verb here is causative. But adding to that the passive idea. Surely you know what the passive means. So let's look at the cross. He was smitten. The passive tells us he swallowed and he allowed himself to be smitten. And the hophal tells us of the verb intensive and causative. And both are in the one of the verb. He caused himself to be smitten by volunteering himself to take our place. There is just no place, no way we can even come close to grasping the soul pain of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This third word, afflicted, means to be brought down by God. Oppressed, and the one that disturbs me the most is to be humbled, to be brought low, brought down, to humble someone to deal harshly, to punish. To get an idea of the word, look at it, Genesis 15:13. God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your dependents will be strangers," these are the Jews, "in the land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. Now, think about this. This is the Son of God. This is perfect humanity. Humbly punished for sins. He did not commit. But you and I committed those same sins. They are our sins that humbled him. It was for sins that he was punished. Stricken, smitten, afflicted. But God, his Father, did all these to his Son. And to add to this, add the verse down in verse 10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him. So we can add the stricken, smitten, afflicted, and crushed. But the sad point here is that they, the Jews, esteem him stricken, smitten, and afflicted because he deserved it. That's their assumption. It makes man, even Christians, feel so much better when someone is suffering by their own hands. To conclude, he deserved it. This is the view of the Romans and of the Jews who put him on the cross to make it themselves feel so much better by concluding he deserved it. And the Jews felt the same. He deserved it. That is, not from us, but he deserved it from God. Yes, it was from God, but no, he did not deserve it. They deserved it. We deserve it. Stricken, he was touched by God the Father in judgment. Smitten, pain, the suffering of sin. Afflicted, humbled, and oppressed. He was touched by his Father in judgment. He bore the suffering of sin, and he was humbled before angels and mankind. I hope you can see why Satan thought he had won. Smitten, stricken, afflicted, or judged, pain, humbled. Was he not humble enough when, as God, he became man? Lower than angels. Or when, as man, he became the servant of mankind. And now, he's on the cross. Yes.
Question, Herman. It's very clear that the Lord, God the Father, was pleased to crush him. But is there any, and I haven't read ahead, but is there any evidence which he felt, God the Father felt hurt, if you will, at having to do that?
No. He did it for us.
So there was no hesitation. There was no
hesitation. No hesitation. Now, on the cross, he is humbled more than any man in all history, any human being. And his humility is our shame, our sins. Verse 4, stricken, smitten, of God and afflicted. We are just in verse 4. Just in verse 4. But let's take a look at our Savior. He was despised. This is just from verses 1 through 4. Despised, forsaken of men, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, bore our griefs, and carried our sorrows, stricken, smitten, afflicted. So, despised, forsaken, sorrows, grief, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. This is what happened to Jesus Christ. But now, there's more. More. Verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. Now, the conjunction but, starting at verse 4, but, is used to introduce a strong contrast. A contrast between their thinking, what they've esteemed, and the truth, what God the Father thinks. Isn't that the way it is so often in life? Our arrogant opinion, in contrast with God's truth, from evolution to salvation, from how we got here to how we spend eternity. Secular man has his own thoughts. Religion has its thoughts. But until we come to the Word of God, we will never see the truth. But he was pierced through. The Hebrew verb means just that, to pierce through. You want to know why God darkened the earth around the cross for the last 3 hours of Jesus Christ on the cross from approximately around 12 noon to 3 p.m. Right here is one of the main reasons. For these 3 hours, the soul of Jesus Christ was continually being pierced through by God in judgment for our sins. And this piercing kept on until the fact of the judgment of all the sins of the world was complete. And when this was completed, Christ cried out, Tetelestai, meaning it is finished. The payment of sins was complete. He was pierced through for the payment of our sins. Completed. And I hope you know what this means. It's over. No one will pay for their sins in the final judgment. There are repercussions when we sin, but Jesus Christ bore all the judgment for our sins. Now, the minus of the gospel, we've studied the positive and negative, the minus of the gospel is paid in full. Now, the only thing that is left, the positive, our having his righteousness. And in spite of what religious people say, in spite of the various teachings of the different denominations, there is only one way of receiving or obtaining the righteousness of God, and that is by faith alone. Now, verse 5 again. But he was pierced through. Please understand this. His soul that is pierced through. The Jews and the Romans have done a great deal to him physically. And they, the Romans, pierced his feet and hands with nails, spikes, and they pierced his side with a spear. But none of this piercing is what is being referred to in this passage. A multitude of people through history have died violent deaths. But none have died spiritually, for we are already born spiritually dead. But Jesus Christ was born spiritually alive on the cross. He died spiritually. And God made sure that it was not immediate death. When Adam and Eve died spiritually in the garden, they spiritually died immediately. In the day you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, immediately you will die. A spiritual death, right then. And that day, but not so with Jesus Christ. His spiritual death took 3 hours of piercing into his soul. The spiritual death of Jesus Christ was on the cross was different than the spiritual death of Adam and Eve. First, there was instantaneous. Jesus Christ was prolonged. Secondly, we have no record that their spiritual death was associated with any pain, physically or inwardly. But with Jesus Christ, spiritual death came with 3 hours of excruciating pain. But he was pierced through for our, or better stated, because of our transgressions. This is about as plain as it can be made for you. But he was pierced because of our transgressions. Every time you think of the cross, every time you sing of the cross, next time you talk somebody of the cross, you just remember that he was pierced because of your sins. He is, here's the phrase that involves the substitutionary atonement. We now have four more verbs to further try to describe to us what even the filling of the Holy Spirit is teaching us with Jesus Christ on the cross. But he was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, pierced through our transgressions, crushed through our iniquities. Chastisement for our well-being, scourged by our, we are being healed from our sins. Okay. First, he was pierced through. The Hebrew participle is used indicating continual action due to bring about the desired result. What was that desired result, and whose desire is being satisfied? First, this is the desire of God the Father. Always remember, Jesus Christ came to fulfill the desire and the love of God the Father. Secondly, the fulfillment of his desire. God the Father was pleased to crush his own son. Why? This is only payment. This is the only payment that could be made to pay for sins. So, do not let anyone try to tell you that man must add something to the cross work of Jesus Christ. He paid it all. The desired result can be stated in one verse, John 3:16, which Chris spoke about this morning, talking about it. John 3:14, in this manner, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be stricken, smitten, afflicted, and pierced through his only begotten Son, that the servant of Isaiah 53, we know his name, Jesus. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. In the understanding of why Jesus Christ was pierced through us, let us add to John 3:16, let's add 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself. This is so interesting. Usually, the person who committed an offense has to do something in order for there to be reconciliation between him and the one offended. This is why religion has a list of all that man must do to please God, but not God. He doesn't have such a list. In mercy and grace, God himself establishes the only way in which we, the offenders, sinners, will be reconciled to God. He sent his Son and crushed him, stricken, smitten, afflicted, and pierced, and crushed. This is the cross work of Christ, and now God the Father. 2 Corinthians 5:18 again, continuing, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is what we have the privilege and joy of doing. This is our joy. This is our privilege for to tell others of all that happened on the cross. I can't tell you how happy I am and pleased I am to do. Now we can do that again. That is just unbelievable. So this is our opportunity. All right, why do you Christians say that salvation is only through and only by faith in Jesus Christ? Why are you Christians of that way? Because of Isaiah 53 is why. Continuing reading, namely, that God was in Christ while crushing him on the cross, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, that's you and I, but pouring the penalty of our trespasses onto him, and he was committed to us the word of reconciliation. This is what Chris was talking about this morning, giving it all to Christ, surrendering all to Christ. Now verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. I learned that when I was a little child in the Baptist church. I was a member of the Royal Ambassadors at that church. And we were the Royal Ambassadors. And that's what we are here. This is you. This is who you are. This is why you are here, left on earth, after eternal life, after salvation, while you were left here, as through God were making an appeal through us. God making an appeal through us to the world, and here is our message. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. And this is why he is suffering on the cross, described in Ephesians 33, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the positive side of the gospel, the imputation of God's perfect righteousness by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Continuing verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 53, but he was pierced through for or because of our transgressions. This statement is both so dear to us and yet so humbling to us. We thought, we esteemed that God had stricken, smitten, and afflicted him because of his own sins. That's what we thought. But now we understand that the real reason he was smitten, pierced, was because of our sins. This should penetrate into our souls how wonderful he took our place. Now, he was pierced through. His soul was pierced, was continually pierced through from our outside source, God the Father. Not by the Romans, not by the Jews, but by God himself pierced him. He was pierced through for our more definitive translate in the Hebrew preposition used, it should be because. Because. He was pierced through because of our transgressions. Describing this action that leads to our being pierced is the three destructions, destructions that leads us to deal for being pierced by Jesus Christ. One, stop trusting God, which leads us to second one, rehabilitate rebel against God, and then this finally goes to sins. This word transgression opens up an interesting and very deep and long study of the words in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to describe the rebellion against God. Just here in Isaiah 53:5, we have two such words in verse 5. Transgressions, iniquities. He was crushed because of our iniquities. The Hebrew word translated iniquities, the theological word book of the Old Testament, plus Harris and Archer and Walkie, and I had in seminary, in their writings, the words continue. Just talking of this word, iniquities, covered five columns. Five, and we're talking little columns, thin columns. But let's see if we can simplify some of this into just a little bit. The basic meaning of this word of iniquities is to bend, twist, distort, all of this is from these Bible studies, to make crooked, to pervert. It is from this word that we find from that on the cross Jesus Christ paid the penalty of guilt of perversions such as homosexuality. He was crushed for such twisting, perversions of his own design. The Hebrew ideal of being crushed is exactly that. His soul was crushed. We've seen his soul was pierced. Here's his soul was crushed. Payment for sins. Another beautiful and graceful observation with this word, iniquities, is that this word is often associated with forgiveness or redemption. Job 33:27-28, he will sing to men and say, I have sinned and perverted what is right. I have sinned and perverted what is right, our word, and it is not proper for me. But there is hope in it. He was redeemed. He has redeemed my soul from the going to the pit, and my life shall be the light. The people pleased behind, and people pleased behind, this goes back to Job, the first book given to us in the Bible. Job understood sin, first book written in it to us, who understood sin, iniquities, perversions, and he understood the redemption, redeemer, forgiveness, redemption of Jesus Christ. Now verse 5 of Isaiah 53, he was pierced through because of our transgressions. Now, with the basic ideal of sin, is refusing to submit to the authority. The basic idea is to submit to authority, to rebel against God, to rebel against His design. And people, let me remind you that every time you and I sin, every time we sin, we first stop trusting His Spirit. And then, in our flesh nature, refuse to submit to His authority and to rebel against His design. In the next phrase of verse 5, we come to yet another verb describing what Jesus Christ experienced on the cross. And the second word on the revelation of sin against God, he was crushed. He was crushed because of our iniquities. And the revelation here is that we twisted, distorted, perverted what God says was right. Verse 5, we have looked at the verb pierce through. Now we take a look at the verb crushed. We have seen the Hophel and the Hebrew language PL. While this time we have yet a third one, Puel. I know these don't matter to you. I know that. But let me do this. By using these words, you begin to say, you know what? There's a lot involved with Christ on the cross. There is a lot involved with me. It's so dynamic. It's so full. It had to use all of this to convey it to me. In fact, the next phrase, we have verse 4, bore, carried, stricken, smitten, afflicted, and then verse 5, pierced, crushed. And then look at all of the Hebrew. Got a cow, perfect, cow, passive, hophel, puel, pl, puel. All of the Hebrew. I know you don't understand that, but just think, wow, Think of how much is there in it. Yes.
Oh, could you sip a little bit of water? Your voice is...
Okay, you bet I can. Very good. All right, good. Now, he bore, carried, he was stricken, afflicted, and pierced, and was crushed for our sins. Now, by the Hophel, H-O-P-H-A-L, we see... Now, I loved Hebrew. I battled through Greek when I first started seminary. I mean, I had to spend more time in the Greek, but then they did something they had never done before, and that is during the summer, a course. And they give three courses, and one of those courses was Hebrew. So I had the whole summer just for Hebrew, nothing else, just the Hebrew. It was so beautiful. All right, the Hophel, we see that he was on the cross voluntarily and was caused to smiten, to be smiten. Now, that's all from the Hophel. Voluntarily and was caused. Now, by the Puel, we will see that he intensively accomplished the absolute suffering of the cross. And the PL, we see that God was caused to pierce Jesus Christ. So I just hope you can go through that. Don't be confused by it. This is unbelievable what happened on the cross. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And I've got the Hebrew. There is so much there on the cross. Now, what was Jesus' attitude? This to me is beautiful. What was Jesus' attitude of being pierced through for our sins? We see both his and God the Father's like thinking for being pierced through in 1 Corinthians 11:23. Now, 11:25 says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So we learn that Jesus Christ gave thanks for the piercing of our souls, for our sins, and our rebellion against his Father. He gave thanks. Now we read through all the richness and learn from the Hebrew of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. How can he put this richness into common words to communicate to others? When we witness to them, how can we show that it is blasphemous to add any works, whatever, to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? Why they cannot add mental repentance, or verbal confession, or overt actions? Those three things. Add mental, something going on in your mind. Verbal confession, something you might say, something you might have done, you might do. Of any list, can't do any of this, of the news to help Jesus Christ on the cross. Learn all that is involved on the cross as you study Isaiah 53. First you present them with the ageless gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Then to press the point, there is nothing that you can add to the work of Christ on the cross. You can then take them to Isaiah 53:4. Surely, truly, our griefs from sin that belonged to us, that Jesus Christ Himself bore. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him. We conclude that these things happened to Him because He deserved them. And we can now say, no, it belonged to us. We deserved it. Stricken. He received being touched by God, the Father. Smitten, smitened, pain, suffering of sin. And here, without going into the Hebrew, we simply express three ideas of the Hebrew for the smitten. Causative. He was caused to be smitten. Voluntarily went to the cross. He voluntarily went to the cross for us. And then thirdly, at the bottom, afflicted. We to carry the pain of our sins. Afflicted stresses that He was humbled on the cross. You think that you can add to this? You want to add to this? And the word afflicted shows this as an accomplished act on the cross. There is nothing that we can be added to it. It is the payment for sins. It is finished, paid in full. Then you continue reading in verse 5, but He was pierced through, and that is, His soul was pierced through. And again, that is, that was to accomplish what was necessary for the payment of sins. Not making ourselves better, not making you a better person, but some works by something you do, but pierced through His soul to accomplish what God the Father demanded, the payment of our sins. And you want to add to this? The next phrase shows how and why He was pierced through. Because of our transgressions. That's why He was crucified on the cross. Well, we will continue at this point next Sunday morning. Let's thank you to think about these things. Go over this passage. Go over these notes. I'm so thankful to Kit getting these notes to you. And now just go over them. Read them again and again. Get an understanding of the cross of Christ. We will continue next Sunday morning. Let's close now in a word of prayer. There's nothing we can add to it. Your Son paid it all. You put it all on Him. He voluntarily took our place. We praise You, Father. We praise You, God the Father, for our salvation. We praise You for piercing Your Son for our salvation. We praise Your Son for volunteering His own person on the cross. We praise You. We praise Your Son. We pray now, Father, Your Spirit, see the things we've learned this morning. Let them so go into our souls that we may understand them. Never forget them day by day. We praise You now, Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen.